programs and scholarships for the people of Gaza.
You are listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Minister Bahlil says weekend meeting proves President Prabowo's commitment to downstream industry. Ranov has the details.
The Indonesian Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Bahlil Lahadalia, highlighted President Prabowo Subianto's dedication to ensuring the continuity of the National Downstream Program. This was shared during a limited meeting led by the President in Hambalang, Bogor Regency on Sunday. He outlined several strategic steps the government will take to advance the National Downstream Program.
Dan hari ini kami melakukan rapat hilirisasi.
We held a meeting to follow up on the President's previous decision regarding 21 projects that will be implemented. Alhamdulillah, we also coordinated with all relevant ministries. We are preparing and the President has directed us to pay attention to the number of jobs, ensure labor-intensive processes, and prioritize import substitution industries.
The meeting also emphasized the need for investment distribution across regions to ensure even economic growth from Sabang to Merauke. Bahlil stressed that the downstream program aims to boost growth and involve local communities for broader benefit.
Listener, March 17th marks National Nurses Day in Indonesia. It also celebrating the anniversary of the Indonesian National Nurses Association. This day highlights the vital role nurses play in the country's health system. This year, the 51st anniversary carries the theme Strong Nurses Synergize to Build the Nation, focusing on the importance of cooperation in enhancing healthcare quality. The event aims to strengthen solidarity among nurses who face significant challenges such as heavy workloads and health risks. National Nurses Day serves as an opportunity to advocate for better nurses, welfare, and policies. A total of 29 members of Indonesia's national football team flew to Australia on Sunday to begin preparation for their upcoming World Cup qualifier against Australia for the 2026 FIFA World Cup. During a stand-off event in Jakarta, the chairman of the Indonesian Football Association, Erick Thohir, confirmed that all players were in good form and injury-free as they left for Australia.
Ya, saya makan malam bersama tim official seluruhnya kemarin untuk memastikan persiapan.
I had dinner with the entire team and officials yesterday to ensure everything was set for the preparations. As we saw, some players had already arrived earlier. Overall, the preparations from both officials and players are looking good, and thankfully there are no injuries. Our main challenge now is dealing with jet lag, but we'll manage. Bismillah, in the name of God.
Kecapean yang kita harus lawan sekarang, karena waktunya juga kan berubah, jet lag segala semua. Ya kita lihatlah, bismillah.
Previously, head coach Patrick Kluivert had named 30 players for the squad, including 19 naturalized players. The Indonesian national team will face Australia at the Sydney Football Stadium in Sydney, Australia on Thursday. In the meantime, the deputy chairman of the Indonesian House of Representatives Commission 10, Lalu Hadrian Irvani, supported the Indonesian Football Association's effort to qualify the national team for the 2026 World Cup. He praised the association for its clear roadmap, noting that while the initial goal was 2030, the 2026 target now seems achievable due to recent achievements. Lalu emphasized the importance of cooperation between the association and the public to reach this goal and urged the association not to overlook young local players in the naturalization process. The Indonesian Football Association Chairman Erick Thohir aims for the national team to qualify directly for the 2026 World Cup and is seeking full support from all sectors. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto symbolically inaugurated 17 stadiums that have been built and renovated in 9 provinces in Indonesia. The inauguration took place at Glora Delta Stadium in Sidoarjo, East Java on Monday. In his remarks, President Prabowo revealed that the 17 international standard stadiums had been inspected by Federation International, the Football Association, and declared to have met FIFA requirements.
So that today we can inaugurate 17 stadiums with international standards that have been inspected by FIFA and declared to meet FIFA requirements. So, this is an achievement.
President Prabowo also emphasized his commitment to continue supporting the development of national football. He is also determined that in the next 2 to 3 years, the government will build 17 to 20 more stadiums in various regions in Indonesia. The 17 stadiums inaugurated by the president include Bumi Sriwijaya Stadium in South Sumatra, Indomil Arena Stadium in Banten, Pakansari Stadium in West Java, Maguwo Harjo Stadium in Yogyakarta, Glora Delta Sidoarjo Stadium in East Java, Demang Lehman Stadium in South Kalimantan, and BJ Habibie Stadium in South Sulawesi. The Indonesian government has successfully repatriated 449 male and 105 female Indonesian citizens who were victims of online scams. The Indonesian citizens were successfully repatriated from Myanmar after experiencing hostage-taking and violence while working under an online scam syndicate. Andi Ramdhani has the detail.
The Indonesian government has successfully repatriated 554 Indonesian citizens from Myanmar who were victims of online scams. The repatriation of all Indonesian citizens was carried out in 3 batches. The first and the second batches arrived in Indonesia on Tuesday, while the third batch will arrive on Wednesday. Coordinating Minister for Political and Security Affairs Budi Gunawan, after welcoming the arrival of the first batch of Indonesian citizens at Soekarno-Hatta Airport, Tangerang, Banten, said that the repatriation of the Indonesian citizens was the result of a silent operation carried out by the Indonesian government through various parties in collaboration with the governments of Thailand and China. According to him, in addition to being held hostage, the Indonesian citizens have experienced violence by the online scam syndicate.
Selama mereka bekerja di markas sindikat online scamming ini,
while working at the headquarters of this online scamming syndicate, the victims who were Indonesian workers had experienced various pressures, physical violence such as beatings and electric shocks, and were threatened to have their organs taken if the targets given by the cartels or dealers could not be met. Their passports were also taken and they were also prohibited from communicating outside, including with their families. Budi Gunawan further explained that Indonesian citizens would undergo a recovery process in Jakarta for 3 days before being returned to their families. The Indonesian citizens would be temporarily accommodated to receive logistical assistance, health services and psychosocial assistance from the Indonesian government so that they could recover physically and mentally before returning home. Andi Ramdhani reporting.
The Indonesian government has successfully repatriated 554 Indonesian citizens who were victims of online scams from Myanmar. Before being repatriated to their families, the victims underwent a recovery process in Jakarta, including an assessment process. Andi Ramdhani has the detail.
The Indonesian government has successfully repatriated 554 Indonesian citizens from Myanmar who were victims of online scams. The repatriation of all Indonesian citizens was carried out in 3 batches. The first and the second batches arrived in Indonesia on Tuesday, while the third batch will arrive on Wednesday. Coordinating Minister for Political and Security Affairs Budi Gunawan, after welcoming the arrival of the first batch of Indonesian citizens at Soekarno-Hatta Airport, Tangerang, Banten, said that the repatriation of the Indonesian citizens was the result of a silent operation carried out by the Indonesian government through various parties in collaboration with the governments of Thailand and China. According to him, in addition to being held hostage, the Indonesian citizens have experienced violence by the online scam syndicate.
Selama mereka bekerja di markas sindikat online scamming ini, para
while working at the headquarters of this online scamming syndicate, the victims who were Indonesian workers had experienced various pressures, physical violence such as beatings and electric shocks, and were threatened to have their organs taken if the targets given by the cartels or dealers could not be met. Their passports were also taken, and they were also prohibited from communicating outside, including with their families. Budi Gunawan further explained that Indonesian citizens would undergo a recovery process in Jakarta for 3 days before being returned to their families. The Indonesian citizens would be temporarily accommodated to receive logistical assistance, health services, and psychosocial assistance from the Indonesian government so that they could recover physically and mentally before returning home. Andi Ramdoni reporting.
The National Disaster Mitigation Agency and the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, in collaboration with the military and local governments, are conducting weather modification and setting up command posts to manage disaster risk during the Eid al-Fitr holiday. Andi Ramdoni has the detail.
The Director of Data, Information and Disaster Communication of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, Abdul Mohari, stated on Wednesday that the agency is working closely with various partners to mitigate climate-related disasters during the Idul Fitri holiday. He also mentioned that according to the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, Indonesia is nearing the end of the rainy season but must remain vigilant for potential extreme weather in the later part of March.
BNPB, BMKG, military, Air Force, we still conducted the weather modification operation, and together with the local government we prepare command post at the 8 provinces in Java and Sumatra. Java, we cover all over province. Static command post and also dynamic command post to continuously monitoring the situation during the long holiday that will be coming in the next few days.
Abdul Mohari explained that the disaster agency is addressing weather-related disasters in both upstream and downstream sectors, using weather modification to reduce rain intensity and minimize risk. The agency is also working with local governments to speed up mitigation efforts and ensure effective disaster response based on weather forecasts. Andi Ramdoni reporting.
Indonesia and Japan economic partnership opens new opportunities for micro, small and medium enterprises. Ofra has the story.
Indonesia has built strong economic partnerships with Japan, offering significant benefits for business owners, including micro, small and medium enterprises, or MSMEs. This was shared by the financial attaché of Indonesia in Tokyo, Leni Nurlaini, during the Indonesian MSMEs penetrating the Japanese export market event on Wednesday. She emphasized the various trade agreements between the two countries.
Indonesia juga memiliki
Indonesia has a special economic partnership with Japan that covers liberalization, facilitation, and many other areas of cooperation. This includes the Indonesia-Japan Bilateral Economic Partnership Agreement, Asia-Japan Agreements at the regional level, and even the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership.
Thanks to these agreements, Indonesian micro, small and medium enterprises now have more opportunities to enter the Japanese market. The government hopes this will encourage micro, small and medium enterprises to export more and improve the competitiveness of Indonesian products globally.
The government is focusing on boosting investment and international cooperation, especially through the development of special economic zones and Indonesia's participation in the CPTPP trade agreement. Pranov, bring us more.
The government is focusing on boosting investment and international cooperation with special economic zone as a top priority. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartanto, met with President Prabowo Subianto at the Merdeka Palace on Tuesday to discuss updates on the national economy, special economic zone development, and international economic partnership. A key highlight was the two countries' twin park collaboration between Indonesia and Fujian, China, which involves a 16 trillion rupiah investment in the Batang Special Economic Zones.
Tadi kami menyampaikan perkembangan perekonomian.
Today we reported on the latest economic development, especially the special economic zones. The President mentioned he will visit the Batang Special Economic Zones this Thursday. During that visit, we'll also discuss the Twin City Twin Parks collaboration with Fujian to boost industrial investment in Batang.
The government is also developing the Nongsa and Singhasari Special Economic Zone. In Nongsa, there are plans for expansion and the addition of data centers. While Singhasari has already opened King College with Queen Mary University joining soon. President Prabowo also stressed the importance of optimizing people, business credit, and continuing effort for international cooperation, including agreement with the Eurasia Economic Union and Indonesia membership in CPTPP. The CPTPP is a trade agreement between Pacific countries to help Indonesia access more markets and improve economic ties with the region.
The Palestinian government confirmed its trust in Indonesia's support for Palestinian independence during a meeting between Special Envoy Mahmoud Al-Habbas and President Prabowo Subianto on Thursday. Dora Parede has the report.
The Palestinian government has reaffirmed its trust in Indonesia as a consistent supporter of the Palestinian people's struggle for independence. This was heard by the special envoy of the President of Palestine, Mahmoud Al-Habbas, after a meeting with Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday. During the meeting, Al-Habbas delivered a special letter from Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to President Prabowo. The letter discussed the strong ties between Indonesia and Palestine, as well as the ongoing situation faced by the Palestinian people.
We handle a special letter from the President of Palestine, President Mahmoud Abbas, to His Excellency, the President of Indonesia, regarding the common relationship between Indonesia and Palestine, and regarding the issue of Palestine in general, especially the situation, the bad situation in Palestine under the continuous Israeli aggression, which was renewed this morning, as you know.
Al-Habbas also explained the current condition in Palestine and expressed gratitude for Indonesia's unwavering support of the Palestinian cause. The meeting highlighted Indonesia's strong commitment to supporting Palestinian independence and further strengthening the bond between the two nations. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, that's highlights of the week of the news, read by Ahmad Faisal. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, finally, listeners, we have been connected, you know, with Vice Chairman of National arms agency, or namely Basnas, with Vice Chairman of Basnas, yes, Haji Mo Mahdum. Assalamualaikum, Pak Haji Mahdum.
Waalaikumsalam.
How are you today, Pak Mahdum?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, brother?
I'm fine, thank you. So thank you very much for your time and also attention to join our special interview today, Pak Mahdum.
My pleasure.
Well, actually, our theme for today's interview is Zakat Potensi for National Welfare.
Well, sure.
So, okay, what is, Pak Mahdum, what do you think about this, Pak Mahdum?
Yeah, so, can you repeat your name, brother?
Yes, I'm Faisal at the studio of Voice Indonesia, Pak Mahdum. Faisal at the studio, Pak Mahdum.
Okay, Pak Faisal, you know, Indonesia has so many, we have a big country, we have so many people who follow Islam religion. And one of the obligations of the Islamic followers are zakat. Based on our calculation, we have around 327 trillion rupiah for the potential zakat that can help Indonesian government to reduce poverty among Indonesian people. But
really extraordinary. So big, yes, Pak Mahdum?
Yes, Pak Faisal.
So, actually, how can zakat help reduce social and also economic disparities in society, Pak Mahdum?
Yeah. Thank you, Pak Faisal. First of all, we have to come back to the philosophy of zakat. Yeah, what is zakat? Zakat is the agency, the army like Basnas, takes the money from the health people, the financial capable people, we call muzaki. So we take this money, and we should distribute it, we should distribute directly to the people, the poor people, the mustahik. We have around 8 groups, mustahik. So, after we take money from the behalf people, and we distribute directly to the poor people, for example, and the society can buy food, for example, can establish a house, can go to school, can buy the clothes that the behalf people also has. So then, based on this zakat, people can feel that the people feel at finally. So that's why we do believe that zakat can be tool of reducing disparities among the society.
Okay. Well, if we talk about the role of zakat, Pak Mahdum, can it improve poor people's access, to basic services such as education and also health?
Yeah. Thank you for this very important question. We are very, very happy to share the information that Basnas in Indonesia, or the management of zakat in Indonesia, is very progressive. Mm-hmm. If we listen about zakat, usually we refer to zakat. If we listen about zakat, we only what in our imagination. Mm-hmm. Only mosque, for example, only madrasah, only, for example, poor people, and get the food. But at the moment, the policy has been developed. Our policy, a half of our dana zakat has been allocated directly for consumption, and the rest is allocated for the productive activities. Mm. That's why Basnas not only provide food for the poor people, but also we provide scholarship for those who want to go to school but without sufficient funding, for example. And also, for example, because they cannot go to the hospital because they have no health insurance, so Basnas provide the free for the health facilities. That's why for the second thing we call it productive activities.
Really excellent, Pak Mahdum. So zakat can be function for many factors, not only to help poor people but also this is to trigger economy. Okay, so to what extent can zakat stimulate local economic growth and also create such as new jobs, Pak Mahdum?
Yeah, it is also very important question that we have from you, that we mentioned before, the beneficiary of zakat must be a person. Yeah, not the activity, but the way business management, how to persuade people, how to make what we call business one, that people who get zakat from business will not depend on business as forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, even though we give this money to the people, we also persuade them to be a productive activity. For example, we provide them training for entrepreneurship. We also provide mini lab for example, for store. We also provide creative industries. That's why from this activity, we need a lot of workers.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important is, even the business provide this activity, the owner of this business is mustahik.
Mm-hmm.
It's someone who has right to receive zakat fund. Business only provide the model of activity to make sure that the fund that business distribute for to them will not disappear directly, but create a job for others and also create benefit for them. And what the ultimate for this goal, we hope at the certain years after Bastas give this project, the person will transform from mustahik become muzaki, from zakat what we call zakat beneficiary become zakat payer.
Okay. It's really interesting, Pak Mahdum, to say about this. Well, you know, Pak Mahdum, we know that Indonesia has more than 30 provinces in Indonesia, I mean, across Indonesia. So how can Basnas promote or to reach or to get such zakat from Indonesian people, especially for the people who live in remote areas, right, maybe in the remote island, really far from city, Pak Mahdum? How can Basnas reach this, Pak Mahdum?
Yeah. Our brother Faisal, Basnas is government institution. We have branches in every single of cities in Indonesia, not only in Jakarta, in all of provinces and also in all of our cities, not only in big cities. And moreover, Basnas also cooperates with institutional government institution. So we can distribute money from here to the remote area by this collaboration.
Okay.
So in somehow, for example, we build a hospital facilities in the remote area and the eastern provinces. We cooperate with the vice president's secretariat. And then they provide for the transportation, Basnas only provide the money for establish this health facilities.
Oh.
So by this collaboration, we'll reduce the money, I think, we'll reduce the cost of distribution. So Basnas can access wherever the Indonesian people live at the moment.
So, Pak Mahdum, it can be said that Indonesia has, if talking about population, Indonesia has more than 200 million of people population, I mean, so that means that if more than that, I mean, they can they can share their zakat, their alms here to Basnas, that means that maybe this can be considered that there will never be poor people again in Indonesia, maybe, Pak Mahdum.
Yeah, we are very sure, brother. If the potential of zakat that I mentioned around more than 300 trillion, 327 trillion, can be reached by Basnas, you may imagine how many poor people that Basnas can help to assist the government. Moreover, it is very important to note, Basnas also collaborate with the BPS, with the Ministry of Bapenas, for example. So we just one data, by name, by address, to make sure that there is no redundant financial, financial aids to make sure that the fairness among poor people has been happened between Bangladesh government. So we want to ensure everybody has the same access. That's why we should verify the data from the government to make sure if someone has gotten aid from government, maybe we will allocate to others. So we try to avoid double financial aid. So by the by address.
All right. Okay, Pak Mahdum, it seems that we must, would like to entertain our listener with music. So stay there, Pak Mahdum. We are going to continue our interview after this song.
Thank you.
Samudra terbentang tak tersua, sentuhku ada bersama bu saudara.
Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, finally, we are trying to contact you, Pak Mahdum again. Pak Mahdum, hello.
Hello, hello.
Okay, so Pak Mahdum, we know that, and we believe that Basnas, with its power and also potential, really optimizes its effectiveness in giving its best, for the sake of Indonesia. I believe that. So, I believe also it has some challenges that Basnas has, Pak Mahdum. So far, what are the challenges of Basnas, Pak Madam, in doing its effectiveness or activities?
Yeah. Well, so many challenges, because the potential of Zakat Fund is more than 300 trillion, but unluckily, in fact, the Zakat has been collected past around 40 trillion. Means our fund, our Zakat is still limited, but the problem is so high. These are the one challenges. So, with supply and demand has not met at the moment. So many people ask help to bust us, but our body are limited. And this the challenge. The second challenge is, I think, the level of the data. I think the data, the technology, because we want to make sure by name, by address, but in somehow for the remote area, some extent they cannot use technology properly. So I think the technology is too will create positive impacts. First, how to collect Zakat. So if people more easier to access technology and anywhere they can pay Zakat easily. Secondly, if people also can access technology anywhere from the poor family, so buses also can be monitored by technology. So the for technology, and also for the responsibility. For example, at the moment, so many during Ramadan, so many people try to buy Zakat through technology. So we did expand technology to make sure when someone want to pay Zakat, there is no handicap anymore. So I want to say, I would prefer to say the second challenging for pastors is technology. How to make sure the technology has been implemented by Zakat pastors in the central of Jakarta, in of Indonesia, Jakarta, also has been implemented for Basnas around India. This is the second challenges. And the third challenges also, Zakat is not only, Zakat also did a responsibility. And somehow, people who get Zakat from Basnas, no, this is our right. We don't need to report. Right? The people who pay to Zakat to Basnas also need report. So between Muzaki, between people who pay Zakat to Basnas, and also Mustahik, the people who receive Zakat from Basnas should have the same way of thinking. So transparency, responsibility is also challenging for us, because it's, I mentioned again. And somehow there is a certain group, though it is our right, where should I report to Basnas that I have from Basnas? So from this media, we would like to say that people need report from Basnas, not only give money for Basnas. That's why Basnas might report accountability to the society. So I think the three issue, brother.
Okay, so Mahdum, I'm really interested what you said previously about Zakat, which is organized by Basnas, can be used to reduce poverty for poor people and even to help health sector and even school. So my question, can Zakat also be used to support infrastructure or sustainable development, Pak?
Yeah, of course, brother. We released three categories for managing Basnas because it's because compliant with Sharia, and the second is compliant with regulation, and the third is compliant with the unity of Indonesia. For the second thing, for the compliance with the regulation, the way Basnas make a policy to distribute the fund, we also refer to the policy of government. What is the government priority at the moment? For example, at this moment, I will tell everybody who listen, Pastor not only manage zakat, we also manage, for example, infaq and sedekah. So usually we use the infaq to establish the facilities to infrastructure. For example, to repair the improper house, to improve the quality of education facilities, for example, building. We also establish this kind of activities better. We use, in fact, usually for these activities, because Basas not only manage zakat, but we also has in fact sedekah.
Okay. So, Pak Mahdum, I would like to ask, but still related to zakat and also donation, you know, our brothers in Palestine, yeah, in Gaza especially, Palestinians really need some help, not only from innocent people, but also from many people around the world. But we are as Muslim, Pak Mahdum, especially here, talking about zakat and even donation, maybe from Basna. So, what is the support of Basna, especially in this case, yeah, representing Indonesian government in giving such humanitarian assistance for our brothers in Palestine, Palestinian people in Gaza, Pak Mahdum?
Yeah. First of all, let's clarify. Firstly, basically, Basna is established as to focus of Indonesian, to focus to help government to reduce poverty, to increase welfare from Indonesian communities, Indonesian people. However, with that Basnas is also government institution. We have mandate, we have assignment from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs also to focus of the issue of external of what we call foreigners and the overseas, as you mentioned about Palestine. At the moment, Basnas, after coordinate with Ministry of Foreign Affairs, we establish special unit in Basnas to conduct for special purpose for Palestinian people. We conduct special task force. And we, last year, our fund bought around, I think, a quarter from Basnas fund come from the donation for Palestine. And this is a restricted fund. If someone give money to Basnas for Palestine people, we cannot use this fund to another entities. Right now we have more than 300 billion. Yeah? Billion, yeah, rupiah for Palestinian people under Basnas special task force. So, and we also quite often come to Egypt, to Jordan, to make sure that fund from society that Basnas give directly to the Palestinian people. Currently, yesterday, the special task from the president of Palestine just visit Basnas and introduce special task from Palestine. If you want to help Palestinian people, please come to this unit. He mentioned like this, because he is special task that President Palestine has assigned. So we are very happy. Finally, we can do to contribute our Palestine fund directly G2G scheme in the mechanism. So, in conclusion, at the moment we are very happy to say that Basnas has very high concern to help Palestinian people, and we are very sad that the condition of Palestine at the moment is not good for us, even in the Ramadan months.
Okay. So, Pak Mahdum, is there any targets maybe during the holy months of Ramadan for the humanitarian assistance done by Basnas for Palestinian people, Pak Mahdum?
Yeah. Brother, everything that Basnas provide in Indonesia, we hope also will be done in Palestine people. For example, we provide special blanket that consists of food for Indonesian people. We also provide the same thing. Package of happiness of Ramadan. In Indonesia, we consist of rice. So in Palestine, we seem to be gandum. Yeah, and also for in Indonesia, we provide noodle, which is for the food for the Palestine. We also provide the cloth, because right now it's winter season in Palestine, for support them to make sure that children of Ramadan they can do ibadah properly. So everything that Basnas provide in Indonesia, we try to copy it in Palestinian people.
Okay. Okay, last question, Pak Mahdum, maybe do you have any messages or such expectation, especially during Ramadan for Indonesian people? Pak Mahdum?
Yeah. Thank you, Brother Faisal. We are very happy to share the information. Alhamdulillah, the revenue of Basnas increase around 30-40% every year, even though the economic condition is not the same with the zakat revenue, the first. So we would like to thank you very much for these people, for the Muzat, for the donatur who are trust in Basnas. The second, there are two types of donatur, Muzaki of Basnas. The existing donatur or Muzaki to Basnas has shown every year they pay zakat increase. Mean for this pay zakat to Basnas, usually they have also the good business. The business also become better because paying zakat. And the second, also the increasing of number of donatur of Muzaki every year. So in the second message, we would like to say, please pay zakat, because there is guarantee from Allah, if you pay the zakat, your business will climb, your business will rise. It is proven by data of Basnas. And the third, because this is Ramadan time, I think this is a time for paying zakat for wudus, has the obligation to pay. So please calculate if you have obligation, because you have a certain number of money and also spend time, because there is we call this of Basnas. Not only number of money, not only amount of money, but also the ownership, the percentage of money. Make sure that your wealth, not only your income, money may be also because you have rent your houses, you have savings, you have coal, you have farmers. Make sure that zakat could be there. So please come to Basnas. You may have a look to www.basnas.go.id. You may pay zakat through the internet. We have so many facilities to pay zakat with technology, brother. So thank you very much. And we pray from Basnas, whoever interact to Basnas, including RRI, who communicate about Basnas, will Allah give place.
Amen.
Will Allah give protection.
Amen.
Among the life, happiness, every day become happy.
Amen.
Yeah,
Masya Allah. Thank you, Pak Mahdum, for your time and attention. We hope that our listeners and also viewers of RRI, Voice of Indonesia, can understand, can have lots of enlightenment from your explanation about Basnas, Pak Mahdum. And we also hope that Basnas can keep on doing its best for organizing zakat and even donation in Indonesia. Thank you, Pak Mahdum, for your time. Assalamualaikum.
Have a good day. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Well, listener and our viewers, that was our special review with Vice Chairman of Basnas, Haji Mo Mahdum. So, Don't get anywhere, stay tuned, because we'll be right back after this song. Listener, it seems that we must end our togetherness for today. Thank you for your listening and have a nice weekend.
Korewa, Voice of Indonesia です。 日本語で放送されている Voice of Indonesia は、インドネシアに関するニュース、情報、エンターテイメントだけでなく、様々な情報を提供します。周波数 332kHz および4755kHz で、またはウェブサイト www.foinews.id および LLE デジタルアプリケーション KU で毎日放送を視聴したりアクセスしたりできます。
Selamat malam, konbanwa. Kyo ni seni jugonen, 3月19日、私、エンガルが1時間の日本語放送をお送りいたします。今日はニュース、インドネシアの音楽、それともいろいろなインドネシアの情報をお届けします。次はニュースをお伝えします。引き続き周波数 332kHz や 4755kHz から Voice of Indonesia の放送をお聞きください。レッサンの皆さん、ニュースです。今日の見出しは、2025年、レバラン期間の経済循環は、375.2兆ルピアに達すると予測。ロシア大使は、インドネシア・ユーラシア経済連合自由貿易協定の最終調整段階を確認。インドネシアは日本と特別支援教育分野での協力に意欲。最初のニュースです。インドネシアのウィリアンティ・プトリ・ワルダナ観光大臣は、運輸省のデータに基づき、2015年のラバラン・イドル・フィトリ、期間中の国内観光客の移動が1億4600万回に達すると予測されていると明らかにしました。この発表は3月19日、ジャカルタで開催された月例記者会見の安心の規制、楽しい観光というテーマのイベントで行われました。ウィリアンティ大臣によると、国内観光客1回の旅行あたりの平均支出額は257万ルピアと見込まれており、ラバラン期間中の経済循環は375.2兆ルピアに達すると予測されています。 過去の愛観光客の1回の旅行あたりの平均支出額が257万ルピアであることを考慮すると、2015年のルバラン期間中の経済循環は375.2兆ルピアに達すると期待されます。同じくイベントに参加した観光省のマーケティング担当副大臣、ニバリ・アユ・マルティニ氏は、2015年のラバラン期間中の国内観光客の移動が1億4600万回、つまりインドネシアの総人口の約 56% に相当することは非常に大きな経済力を示していると述べました。また規制の目的は、家族との再会だけでなく、観光も含まれるため、政府は規制とラバラン休暇をスムーズかつ楽しいものにするための支援を行うと説明しました。次は、在インドネシアロシア大使のセルゲイ・タレチャイノフ氏は、インドネシア・ユラシア経済連合自由貿易協定の交渉が最終調整段階に入ったことを確認しました。この協定には、インドネシアとユラシア経済連合加盟国である、ロシア、アルメニア、ベラルーシ、カザフスタン、キルギスが加入しています。6月までに合意が成立すれば、インドネシアのプラボス・ビエント大統領のロシア訪問と同時に、モスクワで署名が行われる可能性があります。また、インドネシアは現在、欧州連合との経済協力協定や、環太平洋パートナーシップへの加盟交渉も進めています。最後のニュースです。在日本インドネシア大使のヘリ・アフマディ氏は、特別支援が必要な子どもたちの支援、特にインクルーシブ、教育の分野で日本との協力に意欲を示しました。この発言は日本の非営利入り団体、ジャパンバリアフリープロジェクトが在日本インドネシア大使館を訪れ、情報交換を行った際に述べられました。日本側の代表者は、インドネシアのインクルーシブな学校制度を高く評価し、特別支援が必要な子どもたちが、一般の子どもたちと共に学ぶ環境が整っていることを称賛しました。一方、日本ではまだ多様性への受け入れが十分に進んでいない現状があると指摘されました。ジャパンバリアフリープロジェクトの関係者は、インドネシアの学校で実際にインクルーシブ教育がどのように実施されているかを視察したいとの意向を示しました。